Lent, we've been going through the middle chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah chapters 40 to 55, and this time in Isaiah is a time when the people of God are in exile. The Israelites are in exile. They've been kicked out of their home, out of their country, punished for their sin, and Isaiah writes them, he gives them promise. They're a lost cause, these exiles. They had no temple, it was destroyed. Jerusalem was totally sacked and also destroyed. They had no king. We heard last week that one of their kings had his eyes gouged out and he was killed. They really had, as a people, no commercial or political significance. Basically, they had no hope. But in Isaiah 49, our text for tonight, we hear a message of redemption for Israel. As Isaiah announces what we hear as the release of prisoners at the hand of the servant, this text is really about Jesus Christ. Jesus, the servant, will gather people from all directions. This text kind of talks about Jesus, the servant, as being a shepherd. Though we don't hear the word shepherd, we hear other words that are associated with that. We hear words like graze, pasture, land or lead, and guide. And it makes it clear that the servant is a very good shepherd. He leads his flock to find food on barren heights, on high hills. And in the hottest of weather, when we have the scorching wind and sun, he gives his flock food and water. He makes their path straight and compared with the normal hills that they have to go through. The servant has the ability to tend large numbers of sheep from all over the place. And he promises in our text that his sheep will not hunger or thirst. Now, I don't know a lot about sheep, but I know that they're not the most intimidating of animals. You know by now that I am a big fan of the NFL. There are the Bengals, the Lions, the Bears, there's Falcons, there's Rams, but there are no sheep. There are no lambs. There's no Los Angeles Lambs. I don't think that'll be the expansion team. If it is, that's fine. There's no San Antonio sheep. It's just not the way it works. They're not intimidating creatures. Not only that, but they're kind of dumb, really. They've gone through years of inbreeding. These sheep that we know now, they're really stupid animals. They're dumb. They graze on hills, the same hill, over and over again until they create disease for themselves in that place, until they make it a waste. They're dumb animals. If they drink down from a pond, they often will get too close. And I've heard that they'll get so close that their wool actually absorbs the water and kind of pulls them into the water. I mean, come on. That's dumb. They're also dirty animals. Have you ever seen a clean sheep? No. Their wool, it's always disgusting. It's caked with mud. It's got who knows what else in there. My kids like to watch a show called Shaun the Sheep. It's a kind of a claymation kind of show. And on this show, there's one sheep that is incredibly big. And the other sheep are always finding the tools they need to create mischief around the farm. By going into this other big sheep's wool and just grabbing items out of it. There's whatever they need. It's like Batman's bat buckle. You know, there's always the tool you need in this sheep's wool. That stuff is gross. It gets caked with mud, with everything else. If there's something bad, it's in the wool. It's there. It's a magnet for bad stuff. Sheep are also really defenseless, too. I mean, what can they do against a predator? Headbutt it with what? Just their head, you know? They can't do anything. That's why you need shepherds. They're defenseless. Israel is described as being a sheep. as they are in exile. Isaiah tells us that Israel's dumb. The ox knows his master, the donkey is owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And Isaiah also tells us that the people of God are dirty. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Isaiah also talks about Israel, the people of God, as being defenseless. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores. But Isaiah also tells us that we are just like them. Isaiah says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." And what is the end result? That we, like the people of God in exile, are a lost cause. That we, in many ways, are just as dumb, dirty, and defenseless as they are. We are in exile because of our sin. And so we are away and against the Father's will. We are so far from bearing each other's pains and burdens, and we are so far removed in relationship to fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. So what is a shepherd to do? What is the good shepherd to do with this lost cause of a dirty, helpless flock? Of course, the shepherd becomes a lamb. This is the whole story of the gospel. This is the story of all of Scripture. The shepherd becomes one of his own. Jesus Christ is both our good shepherd and our pure, spotless lamb, whom Isaiah describes as one led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. On Maundy Thursday, we celebrate a series of events. Events that begin to unfold that don't lead Jesus to green pastures. Rather, it leads him to a place where spit and blood are caked to his cheeks. There would be no quiet waters for Christ. In fact, there would be no water at all. He would thirst. His lips would be cracked and swollen, parched by the sun as he hangs on the cross. He would pass through the valley of the shadow of death and pain. There would be no rod or staff of comfort for Jesus. And he would drink from the cup, but a cup of fury, of the wrath of the Lord God Almighty. Surely goodness and mercy are twisted and perverted in the most inhumane way against Jesus our Lord. Peter writes, reflecting on the love of God in Christ for us, saying, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the one who oversees your souls." When we are lost, when we are exiled, Jesus, our shepherd, leaves the 99 and pursues you, finds you. And when you are confused by the voices of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, Christ calls you by name, and you know his voice. When you are dirty, when you are full of filth. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is your shepherd who gathers you safely in his arms and carries you close to his heart forever. And as the shepherd does and says for his flock in Isaiah that you shall never thirst and you shall never be hungry again, the shepherd so quenches our thirst with his body and with his blood, in, with, and under the bread and the wine. And so when we come to this table, we receive forgiveness, we receive mercy, we receive salvation. And because of these gifts and the Holy Supper, we will not hunger or thirst again. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gifts of mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for what you went through years and years ago so that we could be reconciled to you through your cross and through your glorious resurrection. Be with us now as we celebrate the supper, as we partake of your body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Remind us that we are your betrayers, but remind us also that we have your forgiveness. We pray this in your name. Amen.